Turn to page 19, chapter 5, Heart Sutta. Introducing Master Xuanhua. He is the 45th patriarch of Sakyamuni Buddha lineage. This one is starting from after Sakyamuni, then it passed over to Mahakasapa, then it continued down. If I'm not wrong, Bodhidharma is the 28th patriarch from India. Then he became the first in China. So Master Xuanhua is the 45th patriarch of the Sakyamuni Buddha lineage. In 1948, after 3,000 miles of travel, Master Xuanhua reached Nanhua Monastery near Canton and received the wonderful mind-to-mind transmission of all Buddhas from the Venerable Master Xun and became the 45th patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Master Xuanhua is also the teacher of... Master Xun is also the teacher of Master Poyan Sanglao, the late abbot of Wu Ping Jingse. So the Wu Ping Jingse Vihara is actually... The abbot was also Xun Lao He Sang's disciple, which means Master Xuanhua and Poyan Sanglao, they are Si Xiong Di. They are from the same batch under Xun. So it so happened that Vihara, they invite me to deliver the Heart Sutta sharing, was also Poyan Sanglao's Vihara. When I went there, he already passed away. Then there's a lady who was there in charge, and she attended my class, the Saturday class, then later the Tuesday class. Then she invited me over. That's how all this started. Then now we come to introducing the late Venerable Master Xun. Xun Lao He Sang, Master Xun, is the 44th patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Xun was born in the year 26. April 1840 in Fujian, China, and passed away in the year 1959 at the age of 120. He is one of the most influential Zen masters of the past two centuries, and arguably the most important in modern Chinese history. Unlike Catholicism and other branches of Christianity, there was no organization in China that embraced all monastics in China, not even all the monastics within the same site. Traditionally, each monastery was autonomous, with authority resting on each respective abbot. This changed with the rules of the Communist Party. In 1953, the Chinese Buddhist Association was established at the meeting with 121 delegates in Beijing. The meeting also elected a chairman, 4 honorary chairmen, 7 vice chairmen, a secretary general, 3 deputy secretary general, 18 members of the standing committee, and 93 directors. The 4 elected honorary chairmen were the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, the Grand Lama of Inner Mongolia, and Xun himself. though Zen is less well known in the West compared to Japanese Zen, the teaching of Xuyin has persisted within Asia, and he is still a major figure of the Pure Land tradition in East Asia. Outside of China, the influence of his teaching is the strongest in Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam and Myanmar, as well as in America, where his teaching was transmitted through well-known monastic students such as Venerable Xuanhua, Venerable Jading Shakya, and Venerable Foyuan Shakya. Then the Middle Age and Enlightenment. This is how he became enlightened. This enlightenment is very unique. You listen. If you find it fascinating, you can go and try. Because he was accidentally the attendant that's supposed to refill their Chinese tea. He was boiling hot Chinese tea. So accidentally they pour that tea onto Xuyin's hand. And because of that, he dropped his cup. Then when the cup cracked, he became enlightened. So you go and ask somebody, get a boiling hot tea. Go and get you burned, see what happened to you. At the age of 43, Xuyin had by then left the home life for more than 20 years. But he has not yet completed his practice in the Pao. He had not repaid his parents' kindness. So he vowed to again make a pilgrimage to Nanhai. From Fa Hua Temple all the way to Qingliang Peak at Mount Wutai San, or the Five Peak Mountain of the Northwest, the Bohi Mandala of Manjushri. He made one full prostration every three steps. He prayed for the rebirth of his parents in the Pure Land. Along the way, Xuyin is said to have met a beggar called Wen Qing, who twice saved his life. After talking with the monk at the Five Peak Mountain, Xuyin came to believe that the beggar had been a manifestation of Manjushri. Having achieved single-mindedness of mind, Xuyin traveled west and south, making his way through Tibet. He visited many monasteries and holy places, including the Potala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, the Tashi Hongpo Temple Monastery, the seat of Panchalama. He traveled through India and Ceylon, and then across the sea to Burma. During this time of wandering, Xuyin felt his mind clearing and his health growing stronger. Xuyin composed a large number of poems during his period. After returning to China during Xuyin's 53rd year, he joined other venerable master Pu Chao, Yuan Xia, and Yin Lian, to cultivate together. They climbed Chiu Hua Mountain and repaired the heart of Chui Feng Summit, where Dharma Master Hu Zhao expounded the Buddha Avamtasaka Flower Adornment Sutta. When Xuyin was 56, the abbot of Yunlang of Guoming Temple in Yangzhou planned to convene a continuous 12-week session of Dhyan meditation, means their Mahayana retreat. Preparing to leave, the group asked Xuyin to go first. After reaching Tikang, he had to cross the river, but he had no money. The ferry left without him. As he walked along the river edge, he suddenly lost his balance and fell into the rushing water, where he bobbed helplessly for a day and a night, and was caught in a fisherman's net. And he didn't die. He was carried to a nearby temple, where he was revived and treated for his injury. Feeling ill, he nevertheless returned to Yangzhou. When asked by Kuo Ming whether he would participate in the upcoming week of meditation, he politely declined without revealing his illness. The temple has rules that those who were invited had to attend or else face punishment. So in the end, Gao Ming had Xu Yun beaten with a wooden ruler. He willingly accepted this punishment, although it worsened his condition. Then for the next several days, Xu Yun sat in continuous meditation. In his autobiography, he wrote, "In the purity of my singleness of mind, I forgot all about my body. 21 days later, my illness vanished completely. From that moment, with all my thought entirely wiped off, my practice took effect throughout day and night." What is this? Continuous meditation. "My steps were as swift as I was flying in the air." So like he got psychic, huh? "Then one evening after meditation," he said, "I opened my eye and suddenly I saw I was in brightness similar to broad daylight, in which I could see everything inside and outside of the monastery." But he knew that this occurrence was only a mental state. That's why he's not deluded. The defilement of insight didn't catch him. And that it was not at all rare. He did not become attached to this achievement, but continued his single-minded investigation of the topic, "Who is mindful of the Buddha?" So this one is a famous Gong An of the Mahayana tradition, Sei Zai Nian Fo, who is mindful of the Buddha. So if you do the chanting, people ask you, "Who is chanting?" Do you think you can answer them? Sei Zai Nian Fo, over and over again. He dwelled into this topic without interruption. Then during the 12th lunar month, on the third evening of the 8th week of the session, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, the attendant made his round, filling up the tea cups. Xu Yin's hand was burned by spilling boiling water, and his cup fell to the floor. At the sound of the crack, the root of his doubt was instantly severed. He was joyous beyond words at having fulfilled his lifelong ambition. It was as if he had just awakened from a dream, and he observed how the condition of the past unraveled. That's why when you go through that cessation, you will understand. A lot of things will happen that you will understand. So he had a famous poem. Xu Yin's verse explanation say, "A cup fell to the ground with a sound clearly heard. As space was pulverized, the mad mind came to a stop." What is that mad mind? The mundane mind. Because he can't control it, he can't do much to it. That's why he single-pointedness. He keep on, don't want to have any thought. Want to maintain the single-pointed mind. But that is attachment. That is trying to hold on. So what happened was, at the moment when the burning Chinese tea actually burned his hand, he was in a state of shock, understand? then all the thinking stopped. That's why he described it. During that time, when all the thinking stopped, he is with the true mind. Then the cracking sound, right? This is not direct seeing, this is direct hearing. The moment he hear that mundane mind that was with that true mind, straight away, like space, pulverized. You know what is pulverized there? Yeah? The whole thing like become powder. Huh? Pulverized. Means the whole of the mundane mind, like the whole space of that mundane mind, that consciousness, pulverized. Yeah. Then, when that happened, the mad mind come to a stop. That's how he become enlightened. Don't go and try, if you are not ready. So this part is very beautiful. That's why you may not understand how enlightenment can come to be. Enlightenment is not what people think, oh, sit whole day in and out, and suddenly you become enlightened. It's not like that. Enlightenment happen under very, very strange condition. You look at Eckhart Tolle, he was in depression, then suddenly the thought came up, pop, he went in. Ajahn Chah also same. How many of you have heard of Ajahn Chah's enlightenment? You haven't read his book? Nobody have heard? Oh, his one also very famous. It was a festival that time, I think Thailand, Thai festival. So there were a lot of this music going on and all the same. Then he was in his temple, Wat Pat Phong. He was doing his walking meditation. So as he walked, suddenly his mind just went into cessation. I don't know, was due to one of the sound or what, I forgot already. He must have something strike him. Then all of a sudden, his mind went into cessation and went in. Then, after that, like Eckhart Tolle, the moment he come out, he understand everything. So, he was doing walking meditation. He was not even sitting. Then you can read up on many of these great masters. The way they awaken is all different. So, not necessarily you must be in certain posture or certain meditative state. Like Hui Ning, illiterate, don't know how to meditate, don't know what Dhamma is. The moment he heard truth, he awakened. Then did he meditate when he see the fifth area? He didn't. He just listened to what he tell him, the Diamond Sutta. And I learned from my teacher also through talking to them. So by talking to them. And sometimes, one of my guide told me, he got a few teachers. One of the teacher, you know how he learned from him. That teacher played chess with him. By playing chess with him, he received the teaching, the Dhamma. So, you want to play chess or not? You can't definitely say you must sit, you must walk, you must meditate, you must do this, do that. Because enlightenment can come anytime when you are ready from your past. All of a sudden, it will just happen. But most people go through meditative training. And in the Jataka story during the Buddha's time, you have heard of all those sutta there. The Buddha was proclaiming the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, first sermon. Then suddenly Kondanya became a Sotapan. Then after that he continued with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then all five ascetic listening become Arahant. Then later on, Sariputta, he met Asaji, one of the five ascetic. He inquired from him. The moment he inquired from him, when Asaji told him two stanzas, he straight away became a Sotapan. He went to meditate. You understand? That's why don't be gullible. But don't go and become like very daring. I brought you say no need to meditate one. Go and tokok. Then you will become enlightened. Not like that. They have done a lot of homework which you didn't know. They have a lot of past cultivation, pardon me. Like this nature of mind. If it's not because of my past, you think so easy you can understand. Because to tell you the truth, those teachers that I met, they didn't really teach me. They just share with me their experience. Then they tell me what they want to tell me, that's it. Then I listen. Then whatever that is the truth, the understanding that can help me in my cultivation, I just use it. And I met many, many. And everyone teach me different things. When I need certain thing, the condition will arise, the teacher will come. That's why very good sharing is, they used to say this, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You heard of this saying or not? I think that one is very true. When the student is ready, very funny. You know. In the year 1986, when one day Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the nature, came into my dream. It's like a dream state. Actually, it's a message before I wake up. It was so clear, you know, so vivid. She held my hand, opened up my hand. Yeah. But the beginning part, oh, no need to tell her, too long the story. Then he held my hand, opened up my hand. Then the moment I saw that vase, the Kuan Yin's vase, I knew it was Kuan Yin. But she was an old lady with all the white dress, but old lady with patch cloth and all those things. Then I think must be her disciple or the Noah. One young lady, young girl, came and called out my name. Very funny, you know. He called out a civil engineer. Oh. Nobody called me by that name. Then I looked around, I thought he was calling somebody else. Then he came and approached me. Then he held my hand. He said, my teacher wants to see you. So I thought, monk, go. Then I saw this old lady. So she passed my hand to the old lady. And the old lady, with a very radiant smile and very serene and beautiful smile, she just opened up my hand. Then she took out the vase. The moment she took out the vase, I knew it was Kuan Yin. Then she poured 3 gems on my hand, the triple gem. He said, you have to move fast. Not much time left. I straight away wake up. And I was fully aware inside that state of mind. It's like a dream state, but it's not a dream. Then I came out. Then I knew it was a message. Then I paid my respect. Then after that, from that day onward, somehow the guide come, the teacher come, the book come, everything come. I didn't do anything. So 1986 to 1989, everything happened. You can never understand. And it really happened. And when it happened, you will never be able to comprehend how can such thing happen. How can it really happen in that way? And everything was very strange. All these teachers and guides and people that I encounter and meet that help me, I don't know them at all. All of them, I don't know them. Some from as far as New Zealand. Then, of course, Thailand, there are a few. Then, there are one or two local ones. So, a lot of this, it just happened. Then, everything falls into place. Then, like that saying goes, when the student is ready, time to move. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come. Everything come. Then, I just accord and flow. That's why you look at the next topic. It's accord and flow. Meaning of, we accord and flow with condition. Or flow with the Dhamma. So the word, accord means not to resist. You understand? Not to resist. Hence is harmony and no conflict. Conflict means disharmony, argue, etc. So to flow with the Dhamma means the same. That is, don't resist or argue. We are accepting things as they are. When you accept things as they are, you don't argue in there. Correct or not? You no more have this difference of opinion in there because you can accept everyone, everything the way it is. Or we are seeing things as they are without delusion and just let things be. It is like martial art. If we were to resist or defend, we are rigid kung fu, then both will get hurt. So in Cantonese, they say ngang, pong ngang. You understand? Not? We are both also rigid, hard-hitting kung fu. But if you can understand Tai Chi and you know how to develop the Tai Chi Kung Fu, Tai Chi Quan, then Tai Chi flow with it. Then Tai Chi will send the force back to the aggressor who will be hurt by his own force. So Tai Chi is accord and flow. When you punch them, when you hit them, he flow with your movement. And you know how they can be potent, huh? Because when you punch somebody, what happens? The most powerful is when you are near him, understand not? And there is sufficient distance for him to hit you, and you don't know how to flow with it, you stay there, you will get punched, understand not? And you will get hurt very badly. But what happens if you understand Tai Chi, you hold his hand and flow with his movement until his punch finish. What happened? When he finished, he got no more strength already, no more power. Yeah. Then, this force is a momentum. No? If you have Tai Chi, you can swing it back, no? And it go back to him. How many of you, when you're young, you have played with the bicycle tire? I did it before. I threw, then I pull back the force, no? And the first swing, the tire will go, no? Then when it hit the ground with the friction, it roll back, no? You try before, no? And Richard also tried before. When young, we always do that, no? But I know energy can swing, can flow, you can control it. Yeah. Then when I was playing this, what they call, you all, the Westerner call it baseball, but we all simplified that of baseball. You know what type of baseball? No? We got one rubber ball. We really whack you. No? We aim at you and then we whack you. No? So if you don't know how to receive the ball, you go and hold it tight. I tell you, very painful one when you receive the very powerful throw. But I learned momentum in science, physics, so I know how to catch. So momentum is rate of change of velocity. So when I catch the ball, the moment I catch it, I move it back, and I stand up. That's why the momentum loss. Then, very easy to catch. Since young, I know all this. I don't know why. But I observe how people do it. So this is a very good way of explaining accord and flow. You won't get hurt. So Dhamma is not to resist. Always remember, whatever that is rigid is not the Dhamma. The Dhamma is a living Dhamma. It will always accord and flow. It will never have problem. Problem only exists when you are deluded, heedless. Then the phenomenal or illusionary world. This one you need to understand the definition of phenomena. So definition of phenomena is very important. What is a phenomena? Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. Can you understand? So what is it? What is a phenomena? So for us, most of us, we tend to understand phenomena differently. We think something that moves is a phenomena, isn't it? I don't know about you all. Do you all really understand phenomena? To me, last time, before I know this definition, I thought phenomena must be something that I can see. There is a movement there, understand or not? Actually, this definition is correct, because for me to know, I must perceive in it. So anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. But what I can perceive need not move, understand? So that's why when this definition come out, I suddenly understand phenomena completely. And you know how the three characteristics, suddenly my nature understand. I just awaken to the three characteristics. Do you want to know how it happened? I was with my teacher, the second last teacher. She was explaining the Dhamma to a Singaporean who is also very serious in cultivation. Then when she did the explanation, I was already having the daily mindfulness, everything. My nature was ready, actually. Then when I heard what she described, I actually understand what she described. Then the Singaporean guy cannot understand. So what happened was, she told him, he said, "You look." He said, "You look." Then she moved her hand. And now I show you. You see what happened to you. She just moved her hand. You don't take photo, how to see? Come, take photo. He just moved her hand like that. He said, "You see." And she was standing. She was standing like that. He said, "You see." Then he moved her hand up. Then he moved her hand like that. The moment she did that, my nature awakened to the three characteristics. How did it happen? That person still don't understand. And she didn't explain anything. She just told that guy, "You see?" So when she did this, she actually explained that part. He said, "See? Arise already. Cease already. Can you awaken?" This is phenomenal. This is creation. When I move, this phenomena arises. Then when I move again, that one ceases. So what is that? Is it real? It's condition arising, isn't it? Dependent originating, isn't it? Then this one is a movement, a phenomena. So if every phenomena like that, supported by condition, that's why every phenomena has this universal characteristic of impermanent. Because dependent on condition, they arise. When condition change, it change. When condition cease, it cease to be. So when you are doing the daily mindfulness, I still remember. Because when I was reflecting and contemplating, truth is everywhere in the midst of life. Why can't we see? So when I heard that thing, straight away my mind become different. Then I want to understand that. I want to really have the ability to see. So what I did was, my daily mindfulness was so stable. Then I determined to develop the understanding. Then when the inquiry was developed, after I saw her hand movement like that, then this one understood. Then every moment I was going through that very strange happening. I have the understanding. Then after the session finished, I normally drive, so I drive back. The moment I move into my car, I was so mindful and attentive. When I was driving my car, everything that I saw within the vision has the three universal characteristics. The universal characteristic was everywhere. Then I realized, how come last night I can't see? Nothing has changed. Suddenly after I understood, I can see. So when I was driving the car, on the road, sometimes there were this leaf or whatever that flow or move. Then that mind, that
sati, the mindfulness, the true mind that is silent. He can be at the moment of arising, sustaining, and passing away. So phenomena normally move in three phases. The arising, the sustaining, then the cessation. Rise and fall, the coming and the going. So everything in nature has this characteristic. So this universal characteristic is so clear. Then I realize, no wonder, when I read the phenomenal definition, I realize this is very beautiful, this is very powerful. Then every moment of perception is the characteristic there, you know, impermanent, suffering state. If you attach, cling, one thing your way, you suffer. Then because it's impermanent, it's anatta, non-self nature, not a permanent identity, it's empty. Then everything is just the way it is. That's why truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. Yeah. Then of course later on, the real one came, the cessation and all those things. My first cessation, the glimpse of here in this Cameron Highland, Brinchang, Sampo Temple. That's why this temple got a lot of good affinity. Then when Sui An was asking, where do we want to have the retreat? My first retreat with them was in Fraser's Hill. That time Sui An haven't retired. So Sui An was able to get us the place. Then after the first retreat, after that year, I think he retired. So cannot get the place. Fraser's Hill, that one. Then after that, he asked me, where? So they try to look for places. Then all of a sudden, I recall this temple. I say, you go Cameron, Brinchang. Come to this Sampo temple. That's how all the retreats started after that. So this place is very unique because the great being down there, their nature are very, very unique, very powerful. And the whole of this temple's vibration is very beautiful, the setting, everything. And as usual, we were very fortunate. The weather is still very good. Today the sun was so beautiful, so hot. So at night it will start to drop, but it won't be so bad. I think like yesterday, it will drop until morning, 5 something, I checked, 14 degrees, not so low. 2 degrees is already a very good a very good effect. Because if 12 degrees, I think it will be a bit cold. Summer solstice. Now it's at the highest point. March, March 21st or 23rd. No. You cannot. That one, you cannot lie to me. My geography, I score geography. Form 3 and Form 5, straight A's. My geography very good. The winter solstice, the summer solstice. So the earth rotation and the axis, all I understand. You ask me to buy house, I know which direction. Cannot get afternoon sun. I will know. Then also as an engineer, I also have good understanding of it. So it's always 21st or 23rd. Mostly it's 21st. March, June, then you have the September, then you have December. The March one should be 21st or 23rd, I thought. But June, definitely 21st, I remember that one. Where there is summer solstice. Summer. No, la, wrong. That one wrong. 21st. Have to be 21st. Calendar. Oh, your Google. Oh, maybe now they adjust it. Never mind, not important. So, okay, coming back to phenomena. This one you must listen. This one really can awaken you. And it can give rise to good understanding. If you cannot understand phenomena, you cannot understand the Dhamma. Because this word is very, very important. To understand truth, to understand the Dhamma, you have to understand this word. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So whatever movement of mundane mind through the perception, you create phenomena. That's why the sutta always got this word. I think you are familiar. They always use these words. Phenomenal world of consciousness. You heard of this one? Yeah? Phenomenal world of consciousness. Do you think our world is real? Everything very solid, very real. How do you know all these things? You know them through what? Through your perception, is it? Through your mundane mind, is it? Through your consciousness, is it? So, what is this whole universe all about? Living being with the mind, the mundane mind, and its consciousness, understand all? And everything arise, like the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things. You can understand, the mundane mind. When mind arise, everything arise, the whole phenomenal world of consciousness. That's what the universe is all about. That's what existence is all about. That's why if you cannot understand mind, if you cannot understand phenomena, you cannot understand the truth, the Dhamma. Now you follow? Yeah? Definitely illusion, you think real. Your childhood until now, I already told you. You can never deny you have gone through that phase of life, since birth until now. I am not talking about you now. I am talking about since birth until now, all those things that you have gone through, that phase. You can never deny you live those moments, isn't it? Until this moment, is that? Are they real? They happened before, but are they real? Tangible? You can only recall through memory. 往事只能回味. And that song is very beautiful, no? The opening statement, 时光一去永不回. Meaning very deep. Time wait for no man. 时光, that moment, when it's gone, it never returns. as real as the history book that recorded. So what happened is, when I was young, when I heard this song, my heart really opened up. No? And I had so much joy, although I was English educated, I loved that song. That's why I listen, and I listen until I can sing that song. There are a lot of songs I never learn one. I listen. And I heard one English song also. That one, another story. We were renting a house when I was in my third year university. So there's a group of four girls. And we all got five men, I think. We stay in the same house that they rented. Then they volunteer to cook for us, very cheap. One day, I think ringgit only, they pow everything. Three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. because we are... No. They study this, what they call, Goons College and all those things, the college, and what you call that? Stanford College, Goons, and all those things. I think these are the secretary one. Then they volunteer to type our thesis one. No? Oh. Definitely. Lah. Or they charge you very cheap. Yeah, they want to get to know you. not only engineer, we got lawyers, everybody in that same house. We got two engineers. One lawyer and a few. So what happened was, four of these girls got one more pretty one. Tall, got high end, very pretty, very popular one. So that one, we all undergraduate, no car, nothing. Then one BMW came. So sure, BMW win now. So every night almost day. Then when I was in my third year towards the end, suddenly one day, we realized that the BMW didn't come already, you know, for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then she also don't want to go out. No. Actually, she was very sad, no, jilted. Then I didn't know, no, that night, the whole house, everybody went out. She was in the house. I didn't know where they used the master bedroom. I used the normal room. My roommate, they also went out. Where they got something, I think. So I stayed back. So I was studying in my room. You know what happened that night? She played that cassette tape. I don't like to sleep alone. For 45 times, I make a mark. Until I know how to sing. So that was, I tell you, a real great joke. So a lot of things in life you experience. Then the next morning, they all came back. Then they were at the breakfast table. We were having breakfast. Then the lady haven't come down. Then I asked them, I said, last night, where did you all go? They said, we go here, we go there. Then they asked me, why? You didn't go anywhere. Huh? You didn't go anywhere? That lady is up there. I said, Rose is up there. I say, I know. Well, I heard the song 45 times. Then they went up and called her down. Then she was so embarrassed. You are in the house. I said. Then all my roommate and classmate, the boy one, wow, he said, Mr. Teo, he said, what did you do last night? The lady played a song, I don't like to sleep alone. No. I don't like sleep alone. Stay with me. Don't go. Wow. Repeated so many times. No. That one my wife also did know. Now only I tell the secret. No. She didn't know I was in. So, but I was a monk. Was young. The whole housemaid, all the 4 girls know. They tried. He said, they are herself, forget about him. Because no use. They go out with me. I sit one corner, I silent my mind, and I sit there. And they come to talk, I talk. But not much communication. Because at that time, I was very silent. I already meditating when I was in the first year at that time. So a lot of strange things happen. That's why my life, you write a biography, a very colorful one. A lot of things. How I met my teacher and how the Dhamma come, the guy come, the book come, everything come. And how I met my wife was very funny. I don't know her one. The condition, everything fall into place. That's why I used to tease her. I said, her cable very big. Cannot run away. Meant to be. So a lot of things you will come to understand. So now go back to phenomena. So until now you understand phenomena. Understand, The phenomenal is defined as anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Then how do you know the world? Via our consciousness and mental perception, isn't it? And since consciousness and mental perception are just mental images in our mind that arises and passes away continuously. Hence, the reason why it is said the phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world of consciousness, empty. Now you understand. So just now you say, so it's an illusion. I think you read already. Did you read this one already? Yeah. Oh, you have a hearing for 18 years. Very good. Sadhu. But this paragraph is so clear now, isn't it? Clear or not? How do you know the world? This one, nobody taught me on. My teacher also didn't teach me. I reflected, I contemplated. Because I got a mind. Through consciousness, I can be conscious of the world. Through my senses. Through my seeing consciousness, I become conscious of the world. Through my hearing consciousness, I become conscious of the world. My taste, my tongue, my tactile, and my thought. That's why they say the world of sight and sound. Without your senses, you cannot see. So how do you know the world is through your senses? Then how do you interact with the world? Yeah? Communicate with the world, interact. Also through your senses, isn't it? That's why without your senses, you never exist. You are dead. So there is a very interesting story about a hunter and a rabbit. So the hunter one day, he was the usual round. So he wanted to actually arrow at the rabbit. Then the rabbit, I think must be a science, a friction story, I think. The rabbit can talk. The rabbit talked to the hunter. He said, "Please have mercy on me. Don't kill me." The hunter said, "Why? Give me a good reason." Then the rabbit said, "If you kill me, the world will come to an end." You believe the rabbit? Huh? You believe the rabbit? Huh? The hunter sure don't believe that. What did the hunter tell the rabbit? "You must be mad," he said. "You want to lie, you use a better lie." And so, "I have killed so many rabbits, the world never come to an end." But the rabbit replied, "No, it's the end of the world for me." You understand? Then the hunter heard, this one I can accept. That's why I let go of the rabbit. So if you want to develop wisdom, sometime, emergency, you have to come out with this good understanding. So we read on. So we are consciousness and mental perception. And since consciousness and mental perception are just mental image, you perceive through an image on your forehead, inverted. Then after that, they only arise and pass away continuously. Every perception arise and pass away, arise and pass away. The consciousness also same. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile. So everything just come and go, arise and pass away, birth and death. So when you understand all this, all of a sudden you realize your whole bodily activity also same. Your breath goes in and goes out. Your pulse of life, the vibration, they arise and they pass away. Then the birth and death of every breath. That's why when you do walking meditation, you all go and note what? Rising, what you call that what? Lifting, 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 pushing, pushing, stepping, stepping. Why so mafan? I look at it different. When I was mindful, I saw the footstep, arise, disappear. Arise, disappear. So I saw the rise and fall, the birth and death. Then I realized the breath also like that, my pulse of life also like that. Everything in nature with vibration is all like that. That's why the characteristic become very clear, the coming and the going, all phenomenal behavior there. There are all conditions arising. Because of condition, they arise. When the condition sustain itself, it continue to exist, the sustainment phase. Then when condition cease to be, it cease. Like my voice. Is it real? Is it real? Real, Because to you can perceive it, isn't it? Let's say a moving car traveling from a distance. When it's beyond your hearing range, you can't hear that. But that sound exists or not? To other people it exists. To you it don't exist, understand? Then when it comes near within your hearing range, you can hear it exist. Then after that, after it passed by, what happened? You can hear already. So we are limited by our senses, understand? Whatever that our senses can perceive, we say is real. Cannot perceive, you say not real. That is why you cannot understand Dhamma. Because that shows that all this hearing consciousness, is dependent originating. When condition is there, then it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Now you see, it's just a phenomenon. You think very real. So a phenomenon arises and passes away dependent on condition. When you understand this, you understand the teaching. You remember how the turtle there, the stupa? What is written at the back? Tell me. Can remember that? Ah, you got the photo, huh? You read the Mandarin. Huh? He said, all Dharma masters, including the Aryan Sangha, they teach the same. Yeah. Whatever that arises within the existential world, the phenomenal world, they are all conditioned arising state, dependent originating. Yeah. And they continuously arise and cease, arise and cease. He said, all the teaching is like that. You understand this, you understand the Dhamma, you understand all teaching. So this part is very beautiful. Eh? Then we read on. Eh? Hopefully you can understand. And hence the reason why it said the phenomenal world is a world of illusion. Eh? It's actually an illusionary world of consciousness. Empty. Like I said, how real? You can only hold on through memory. And the consciousness, every moment arise, pass away. And each and every living being is experiencing the same thing. That's why there is nothing permanent in you. Yeah. You think you got all the stone everywhere. Yeah. You got gemstone outside there. You got kidney stone inside there. That is also a stone in there. You think that one lasts or not? When they cremate you, you become crystal. Understand? Or maybe relic. Wow. Then people put into a, what, enshrine it properly into that small, you call what? Stupa. The small fellow that enshrine the relic on. I forgot. A relic. The enlightened being, after you cremate them, because of their pure energy, because of the vibration that they are having, the consciousness are really. So that type of pure energy actually transforms certain part of their bones, certain part of their physical element into relic form. But relic, you need heat, heat to crystallize it. Not only pearl, it comes in beautiful form, the relics. You know? So they believe this has their vibration, understand not? Their vibration. All these bones or elements, after you cremate them, they collect, then they have to sieve it and collect it. Then a lot of people believe that it can help them in the meditation because the vibration. That's why the Buddha relic, the Buddha's relic. And in the sutta, the Buddha mentioned there are four things that you must pay respect to, object of veneration. You all chant before, is like, Vandami Chetiyang Sabham Sabbatanesu Patititang Saririke Datu Mahavohin Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. So these are the four objects of veneration. The first one is the Chetiya, Vandami Chetiyang Sabang Sabbatanesu Patititang. Means the Chetiya that is everywhere. But this Chetiya all got relics on, supposed to be. Then after that, the next one is the Bodhi tree, Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. Then you have the Saririke Datu Mahabohin. Saririke means the relics. The Buddha Rupang means the Buddha image. Then the Bodhi tree. So all these are objects of veneration. That's why the relics become something spiritual. Then people believe when you go to this stupa, the energy, the vibration is very strong. Really, they are really strong. You want to get the best and the strongest one, you go to Vientiane. Vientiane. There is one stupa, very big. Actually, there are two there. One is in a Buddha image, that don't know what Buddha. I think green color one, that don't know what Czech Buddha. So they brought me there. The funny thing is, when I was at the border at Thailand, Yun Chan was with me that time. Yun Chan, where is Yun Chan? Where is Yun Chan? Not around. Never mind. She was with me. That time, when we cross over from Thailand, before I enter Vientiane, I felt some energy very strong. Then I was telling Yun Chan, I say there must be a good cultivator around, a great being around. Oh, otherwise, how come got so strong energy? Then later on, I found out it's not from human being. It's from the stupa. Because as I arrived, I felt it stronger and stronger and stronger. Then when I arrived at the stupa, wow, I tell you, that type of relic, the energy, the vibration, the radiation is so strong. That's why I told Sui An, you want to have retreat, go there. That Chetia shape, the sharp one. No, because normally under the stupa, there is this relic. There's this relic. So they believe the energy will be very strong. So there must be a lot of relics down there. And I think they believe it's the Buddha's relic, Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why it's very, very different. Oh, so strong. Then when I was at that check, the Buddha place, the temple, so say, because that crystal, like the image, it made of marble or certain granite or stone, they can store all the energy, the vibration. So if every time you have an image where people pay respect, meditate, cultivate, they will have this energy inside there. That's why this whole building, the Sampo temple, all the column, everything, the steel bar inside there, they have all this energy, but you don't know. That's why you lie down silent in your mind, a lot of things will happen. So certain of this way place, because it has been used by a lot of cultivator, great beings. That's why they have this vibration. Okay, we go on. The Mahayana also have this very famous saying. This one is very important. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This one I have to explain. I hope you all can develop the understanding. So, how many of you don't understand this sentence? Perception of form is consciousness. Whereas is non-perception is wisdom. How many of you cannot understand this sentence? This one is in the famous Mahayana Sutta, the Surangama Sutta. The whole book, actually, early day when I read through, the moment I saw this, wow, my heart rejoiced. I say, this is wonderful, this is beautiful, this is really the cultivator really understand. Because I have already had this understanding, but nobody talk about it, nobody write about it. Then suddenly I saw this, and nobody taught me. My teacher also didn't have the ability to teach me this. But the moment I saw, I understand, where I went through the meditation, the daily mindful, then this is what I saw. Perception of form is what? How do you perceive? Through your mundane mind, right? Consciousness, right? But when you become enlightened, what do you see? You have the direct seeing, right? There is no perception, right? You see things as they are, right? That's why he say perception of form is consciousness, whereas the non-perception is wisdom. When you have the direct seeing, you don't perceive anything, you see things as they are. That's why wisdom. And in the Mahayana tradition, there is a Zen story. There was a student, he was so excited, he thought he enlightened already. He quickly ran over from the island, crossed over to the teacher's place, and excitedly called out to the teacher, oh master, I already awakened. And you know what happened? The teacher took out a cane, whack him. Oh, sorry, before that. The teacher said, oh, good, good. Enlightened, What is that? He pointed at the table. No? Then the disciple said, table lah. Oh, the teacher whack him. He said, you enlightened, still got table. Oh, that's why he kena. Then there was another story, the Zen story also. This student, he thought he enlightened. He wrote a message to the teacher. He asked the attendant to help to send over. So the attendant sent over. He saw the note. Teacher, teacher, I'm already enlightened. I have awakened to the way. I can see this. I can see that. I have this experience. He's talking about experience. He's not talking about wisdom. Then you know what the master did? He just replied two words, fang pi. He said, bullshit. Then the moment the reply went back to him, he saw that one, he got so annoyed, you know, so unhappy. You know. He straight away went over and confronted the teacher. You know. He said, how can, oh teacher, I respect you, you know, but how can you reply like that? Fang pi, bullshit. Then the teacher asked him, no, if you are enlightened, how come you are here? Because he wrote in the message, he said, now the eight winds cannot trouble me anymore. Pa feng chui pu tong. The eight worldly phenomena got no effect on me. Praise and blame, gain and loss. Then fame and ill fame, all these things cannot affect me already. Then the master said, one fart blow you over the island, and you say, eight wind cannot blow you. One fart, you already come over. Then the student realized, oh, I have yet to understand the true Dhamma. That's why Zen story, Zen analogy is very, very beautiful, very meaningful. So don't be too eager to say, I'm already enlightened. When the eye is there, the teacher will know this fellow. He is still with the egoic mind, the thought telling him and all this thing. So this particular sentence is very useful, very important, and it's very deep in its meaning. So you have to learn to understand it. This is most profound, I wrote there. And the enlightened one will understand it. Now you understand why the Mahayana always say that the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. This is also the reason why the Surangama Sutta say consciousness created the world and the continent, the star and the universe, and the knower becomes the living being. Through thought and form delusion, the knower deludedly cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind, become the living being. Yeah. Thinking that it is real, and this is what they are. Hence, the deluded living being, clinging onto the false, become the traveler in space and time, wandering through samsara, and undergoing birth and death for eternity. That's why you think this is you. You continue to come. You continue to travel in space and time for eternity. That is what samsara is all about. Then the note. True mind does not stir. Through suchness, ru putong. Only the mundane mind stir via delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. Fenbiasing, discriminating. Then definition of hallucinatory. Thinking that it's real, but it's actually not real. So you hallucinate. Also illusion. Then J. Krishnamurti said, the observer is the observer, leading to your ability to seeing things as they are, yeah, the direct seeing without words. In a similar way, the Buddha also taught the same. He said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. Hence, no delusion. Otherwise, the moment you associate and cling onto what you see or what you observe, delusion or sakkayaditti has already arisen. So Jay Krishnamurti knew, there is no observer and the observed. No. The two are not separate entities. They are one entity. That's why the observer is the observed. The mundane mind is observing his own creation. You understand? Because you cling onto the mundane mind thinking that this is the thinker. This is the observer. And you think this one observes what you perceive. Understand? What you perceive also come from this fellow. Understand? You understand? Huh? That's why the observer is the observer. It's not a separate entity. It's like mindfulness. Body and mind move as one. It's one entity. But delusion go and divide, segregate, and create the problem. So when you segregate, what happens? You think you are the observer. Then you observe something. And you think these two are different. Yeah. Then what do you do? The observer observes that there is violence, there is fear, there is war, yeah? All these things. But he thought he is different from them, that one, understand not? He thought he is not violent. The violence is outside. So what do? He practice what? Non-violent, understand not? He practice letting go. Don't want to get angry. But he cannot understand that violence that come about is the result of what he is. Because the summation of all the individual created the violent society. Understand? So, violence is not a part of you. You are violent. Why can't you see that? Like fear. You think fear is not you. Because you are the observer. You say, I observe, got fear. So I must do away with fear. Where fear is not good. Fear is evil root. Understand? Violence is evil. So what he want to do? As the observer separate, he want to practice non-violent. He want to practice confidence so that he got no fear. It's just like sensu. Create duality and want to do away with duality. You understand? But when you start to understand that the observer is the observer, where the mundane mind that perceives is the same mind that perceives. Understand? The mundane mind is not you. The perception is also not you. That's why fear is not you. Anger is not you. All the emotion is not you. They are dependent originating. Condition arising in mind state. Due to your wrong view, wrong thought, conditioning. So when you see all this, you will suddenly like wake up from your dream. Then you realize this is not what the world thinks. This is not what normal human beings think. That's why the truth is always the opposite of what the normal people, the deluded people think or perceive. We perceive the world as full of what? Very real, very permanent, yeah? Full of happiness, full of joy. But we didn't understand the universal characteristic behind the phenomenal. That's why the truth is the opposite. It's not so real and so permanent as what you think. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, impermanent. That is not a happy world, understand? Because when you have delusion, you can never be happy, seldom happy. The mundane happiness is different, eh? But spiritually, you are not happy. You have suffering. You attach, you cling to wrong view. And empty nature, you think real. Because you can't see. So this delusion is what trapped the living being and conditioned them into suffering and misery. So when you understand this, you awaken, you become different. Okay? So this part by Krishnamurti is also very good. It shows the similarity of the teaching with the Buddha. although they use different words. Okay, part two, the next page. This one, meditation, is very good. Yeah? This one you have to listen. This one is beautiful. Can visualization, like visualizing a blue sky, be used as a technique to develop mindfulness? What do you think? Yeah? What do you think? Yeah? Can or cannot? Tammy shake the head. sure cannot lah. Huh? You can, then everybody sit outside, look at the blue sky. So my answer is, this type of visualization technique, like any other skillful mean, if used with understanding, can also bring about the training of the mind to be peaceful and calm. Just like auto-suggestion via music, sound and vibration, etc. But the disadvantage of this type of skillful mean is that it usually only works for the first few times, and after a while, like good food, it loses its effectiveness. Yeah. The other type of visualization technique, using kasina, or the 40 object of meditation used to develop one-pointedness concentration, followed by the development of jhana and deep concentration leading to all the other psychic ability, is more dangerous, unless it's done with understanding and preferably under the guidance of a very good and skillful meditation teacher. If one cling and attach to start such a one-pointedness concentration and special jhanic ability, then one can be trapped, and chances of deviation from the true cultivation of wisdom to free the mind from all suffering can happen. The mind that is in one-pointedness concentration is a conditioned mind that is still within the field of thought, and all the anusaya, or latent tendency of the mind, are still suppressed and not rooted out as yet. Such a mind is not a free mind with clear awareness and samadhi, born of equanimity or wisdom. So this one is all very clear. So all these are auto-suggestion, understand? Like they play the nice music. You heard of silver mind control, isn't it, last time? Yeah? The early day, silver mind, yeah? That type of meditation. You know, they play music, soothing one for you to listen. Then you like become very calm, very peaceful. Then they measure your brain with, you are now at alpha, beta, theta, when you are very quiet, theta. Like good food, first time very effective because you are so heedless, understand? You think a lot, and your whole brain is so much full of all the heedless thinking, the wrong thought. That's why you are not happy, you are not peaceful. Or then you go there, sit. Then they have this nice music, nice soothing vibration come in. Wow, first time. Really like drug. Wow. You enjoy. But after that, go back, square one again. Then go for another time. Maybe second time still okay. But after two, three times like good food, you every day also same, no more effect. Then you want more powerful music, more stimulating type of conditioning. That's why that way you cannot develop the progress. So auto-suggestion only work for a while. It doesn't really work for you. It doesn't fix the thing. It's like when you learn how to swim, you rely on the float and refuse to let go of the float. And every time change to a better float, nicer float, is there any different? You are still holding to a float, isn't it? So as long as the float is there, you will never understand the real swimming. When you can swim without the float, that is the real swimming. So all these special, what they call float and all those things, are like skillful means, auto-suggestion to train your mind to make you peaceful, calm. So like drug, for a while, make you feel high. They hallucinate, you know. Then they have this last time, the Westerner like to use this as one of the way to get high, you know. Understand? Then they realize when they go for some of these retreat, when they starve themselves, when they don't eat, or they eat very little, And you know what happened? They also have this hallucination. The mind also become like that. Oh, wow, then they say this is really very high state of progress. Then one of the teacher that understand, you might as well go and take drugs. You become more high. You think this is progress. He said, I really have joy, you say, ecstasy, when you are in that, under the influence of a drug. That's why it make you addicted, understand? Then you become dependent and all those things. So some of these things you need to understand so that you don't become gullible. Yeah. You will not become gullible and join all those people, or because they can actually lure you. You know what is lure? L-U-R-E. They can sweet talk you until, hey, very good, no? You ask our friend, he also went with me, you know. Oh, and really, this is fantastic, you better come. Then you go there, you realize it's drug. Maybe modified, better drug, more expensive drug. Okay, we continue. Question 2. How to apply the wisdom of letting things be to resolve all our life's problems? This one is a very good question. Because there was one Kayanamita who actually, before this question came about, he came to the class. When the Q&A, you know what he tell me? He said, Brother Teo, what you teach doesn't work. Then I say, why? He said, you say let things be, you know. How can I let things be? My wife climb over my head. I let things be. Oh, that's how you learn. That's why you don't understand. So I explain. So after I explain, that's why this question come about. How to apply the wisdom of let things be to solve all our life problems. You listen. This one is very good. Then I answer him, with right view born of wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, we will not react and allow the mind to stir when confronted with the first noble truth reality of life and existence, means the 8th condition that brings about suffering. Hence, we have no fear, no worry, no anxiety, or any suffering. That is, we just let things be after accepting the reality of the moment. Then with a calm mind and a clear mind, because we don't react anymore, we can weigh our option and act appropriately with the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation, to resolve all our life situation or problems amicably, that is without any negativity or wrong thought to cause our mind to stir. And the wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, misery, etc. So when you understand this, it becomes easy. Then without wisdom and right view, born of understanding the Buddha Dhamma, one will react and the mind will stir due to fear, worry, anxiety, etc., born of their wrong view. Just like normal, deluded living being, leading to all the mental suffering, grief, sorrow and lamentation, etc. The cause of suffering is delusion, the condition one's grasping and one's clinging to one's five aggregate or form and mind. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha says suffering need not be if one has the wisdom and enlightenment. Suffering need not be if one has the wisdom and the enlightenment. Wisdom and enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now, or Nibbana is possible. Then following the four noble truths, which is the way out of suffering, one cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to the end of all suffering. You know the reason why Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation, isn't it? Yeah? Because under the fourth noble truth, what did the Buddha proclaim? He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That is what you are looking for, isn't it? Because you want to cease all ignorant delusion so that you can become enlightened, so that you will not suffer anymore. That's why this is the meditation. So you have to act with wisdom, following meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. With right view, accept, don't react, don't stir. Then weigh your option. The mind that doesn't stir and react is peaceful. No fear, nothing. There is clarity. There is understanding. Then you ask yourself, what are your options? How can you move? How can you resolve all this amicably? So this understanding is what the Noble Eightfold Path is all about. With right view, I accept, I don't blame, I don't project my thought, I got no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no anger, no hatred, nothing. Then my mind is at peace. But doesn't mean I agree. Letting things be means I don't have to agree with what happened. I only need to understand that as long as I don't get angry, stir my mind and develop all the negativity of my state, I can act. Otherwise, you can't act. Do you know why? Because no amount of fear, worry and anxiety, sorrow and lamentation can solve your problem. True or not? They will make you worse, isn't it? True or not? They will make you worse. Then why do you want to get angry? Then why do you want to become fearful? It will paralyze you. So when you don't do all this deluded thing, then there is wisdom. You have right view to accept the reality of the moment. You are at peace with clarity. Then you can see things as they are clearly. Then you can weigh option what actually happened. How can I resolve all this amicably? Then, what did the Buddha teach? With right view, I apply my right thought, right speech, right action. I talk to people nicely. I need to find out from people who has the answer, who have the understanding. I see them, I consult them. Then if I talk to people nicely, I act wisely. I have right thought. My character, my personality become beautiful. And people will really help you. Then they can advise you. Yeah. But if you have the Dhamma yourself, you don't need to seek other people's help. Unless it's the field that you are not good at, then you need to seek people who are good in that field. Then go and consult them. Like you got sport injury, you go and see Richard. Understand? Then his advice is worth a lot. Because he undertake the code of ethics. He swear he cannot do certain things. What did you swear under oath? What was it? I want to know. What was it that you swear? Ah, oh, okay. Later. Yeah. Yeah. So knowing is one thing, huh?
She has the knowledge. She's actually seeing a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
So
he told you getting angry is wrong.
So the student tell me, I know getting angry is wrong. I know being envious is wrong.
Then what else did he tell you?
But I just cannot help it.
Oh, means he don't know.
That's the thing. So the thing is,
when you know,
but she knows
and you tell
wrong.
Me I cannot help it.
So is it that now?
It's just like in the caught after you have been caught for robbing the bank with what? With armed robbery, when you are caught with the pistol and all those things, it's death sentence, isn't it? Correct, like drug, it's death sentence, isn't it? That time you go and tell the judge, I know this is wrong, this one got death sentence, but I cannot control, I cannot do anything about it because the money is very attractive. You think the judge is going to tell you, oh, okay, accept your reason. No, you tell him, When you know, you cannot do. That is foolish. When you still didn't know, that's why you dare to do. Understand? And you know, Jai Krishnamurti, the advice is what? He said, remember this one. The most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, I know. You know why not? Because he's a spiritual guy. When you say you know, means you know a lot of knowledge, a lot of rubbish. Because wisdom is not a knowledge, understand? You can never say you know. You understand, understand? But it's not a knowing. And understanding is complete. When I say I know, means how can I teach you? You already know, understand? Like the Zen analogy, the cup is full, understand? Anything also cannot go in already. You say you know already. You don't want to listen already. So psychiatry tell him not to get angry. So the psychiatry must be you. Yeah, you are Buddhist. Then you ask him next time, why you say anger is bad? Why? If he can explain to you, then maybe he know. Why is anger bad? Yeah, ask him. Why do you think anger is bad? When you get angry, you release out in there. Better than bottling it up. Then one day, pressure too strong, burst. Worse, understand? But at least you release it out, you didn't harm anybody, not so bad. Why do you say anger is wrong or bad? Then see how he answers you. Okay. And how did that anger make him miserable? Oh, bully. He bullied people. Oh, she got bullied, then she got angry. Oh, the phobia, that fear.
She got bullied, so she carried that.
The
so
phobia, the fear.
So projection towards life is very negative. So she see things, even if you say things like, probably you want to help yourself. So she will turn the question back. Are you saying I'm not helping myself?
Oh, okay.
No,
she's not so stupid as what you think.
Or you say that there are some of the things that you are having is your own personal projection.
Correct.
Then she says that.
But you still approach it like that. That's why he questioned you back.
Okay, good. Now teach me how to do it.
I already taught you so many times.
Tak masuk lagi.
Yeah, you never take it down as notes. So got to repeat again.
That's why I'm here for a third year. I have to fight with my boss to come here.
Yeah. So, you see, for a situation like that, I already told you, don't go and reason with this type of people. Understand? You reason with them, they're more clever than you. They think they know more than you. Because they have seen so many, psychiatry, all sort of character also. Then suddenly one cat hoon. Then he know this cat was not aggressive one. Throw back some question, cannot answer already. So how? This type of people, you have to wake him up. Sometimes need to use a little bit of indirect knocking. You have to knock. You know, people who come and see me, I told them, the Kayamita or no, if they don't want to come, don't bring them. Understand? Unless they want to come, then only come. Then sometimes they don't know, they under influence, sometimes curious, they want to come. Then when they come, I try to explain certain things. Then I sense what is happening. You know what happened? There are one or two, very rare. They keep on arguing with me. No, brother, not like that. I went through my life, I know. I say, okay. Then after that, you say something again. This lady is depressed. Then you try to explain all the wrong thought. He is not listening at all. You know what a depression people do? Who has depression? They like a tape recorder inside there. They want to tell you. They are not interested in listening to you. Well, they feel that they have to tell you. They keep on repeating this. Then after you try to explain something, I say, but this guy did that to me. My husband did that to me. You expect me to accept and all those things, let things be. What do you say? Then I cannot continue, understand? Then I will say, okay, fair enough. You have spoken. Message received. Now can I ask you a question? Why are you here? You were going to ask this question. You asked without understanding. No. Then what did he tell you? I see. And you accept the answer. Ayo. You know how I ask or not? Why are you here? Then he will tell me. People say you are good. So do you trust me? Or you trust that person who tell you? I say, I cannot help you if you don't want me to help. If you choose not to be helped, nobody can help you. Then I will turn it around. I say, your life, you better decide. There are no two ways about things. You have a problem, true or not. That's why you come and see me. Otherwise, you won't come and see me. At first, he tried to argue, no, I don't think I have a problem. Then very easy, I say, oh, no problem, then go back. No need to come. Then I wish you luck. They don't want to go back on. They want to know what you have to say. For me, it's very simple. I say, your life. To be happy or to be miserable is entire life. If you choose to be miserable, nobody can help you. If you refuse to change, if you refuse to have an open mind to listen to what I can share with you, you don't have to believe me. You just listen and try it out. You got nothing to lose. I say, if you continue the way you live your life, you will never change, and you will continue to have such problem, suffering. True or not? Then suddenly they look at me. Then inside, got question. They not say it out. Then what must I do? That question he did not ask. Then I help them to ask. Do you want to have the answer to that or not? The answer is very simple. If you don't change, you will continue that type of life. You will suffer. You will become miserable. If you want to listen, then try out something new. You have to change. If you don't change, nobody can help you. 神仙都没有不能救你, 神仙都救你不到, so how?
Last week I said something not like that, something like that. And then she cried and she told me, you know, Mrs. Spoon, call Mrs. Spoon. I don't appreciate the advice from you. I feel you're condescending and you're looking down on me.
So
suddenly I came.
Because you try to reason, understand or not? Why you want to reason?
I've seen her for 64 hours.
Wait, you Tai Chi. You know a Tai Chi or not? You pass back the problem to her. She has problem, not you. What is that? Why you want to be right? Why you want to convince her? That's why he said, you look down on me. That's why he refused to listen to you. Because you are trying to explain to him, justify and all things. Forget about this type of people. This type of people is not listening. Understand? You have to wake them up. Wake them up means what? Your life, If you are not loving, you don't love yourself. I always tell them, if you don't love yourself, nobody can help you in this world. Then I explain, I say, do you know what is loving yourself? He said, I know. Just like your case, you think I don't love myself? Like what she told you, isn't it? I say, you don't know. I straight away tell her, you think you know, but you don't know. What is love? Then I start to explain. You have children or not? I say, you have somebody you really love and care for or not? Just like a mother, when you love your children, what do? You can sacrifice. You can go all out and provide for their children and sacrifice for their children without second thought. So that he is not hurt, he is not bullied, he is not harmed. That is love. Loving your child. If you love yourself, you must bring out the other side. If you love yourself, you won't be doing all these stupid things to yourself. You love yourself, you will not arise the wrong thought to condition you into such misery, suffering. You are hurting yourself, harming yourself. You don't understand life. You are not living at all. Through delusion, you are really deluded. Then I will give her the example, like a knife. A knife is a tool, isn't it? T-O-O-L, isn't it? You use a knife for what? Cut fruit, shape, vegetable, everything. Help you to do things. But you are using that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others, though. Is that the correct way? I will go do that, is it? You are not using the knife. You are using your thought, understand not? To make yourself miserable, understand not? To harm yourself, to hurt yourself. Then only you start to understand, no? Why do you think all this wrong thought? And what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and this one I have told you many times, isn't it? But you say you forgot. You also can forget, no? Then how can they understand? Because it has not got in, understand? But this year it go in already. Because this year you really, really want to know. Because that time you were not ready. But this year you are ready. I can tell, assure you. Because you will remember what I say. You go back, better prepare notes. Love yourself. What is the meaning? My daughter got something to share. Yeah.
On a similar message, recently got the shooting. Right? Then the usually first reaction is, oh, so scary. Yeah. That one is increasing the fear that's already present. These people should be locked up. Oh, this one is, again, violent, causing anger, making anger worse. So this is like a knife already. By thinking these two thoughts, I'm committing mental suicide. I'm hurting myself. I don't love myself.
Correct.
I'm not a mother. I'm not protecting myself.
Yeah.
So I don't
because
love myself.
The wrong
I'm thinking
thought,
these two things.
And the wrong thought will condition
other people,
you.
I make it worse. So yeah. Then I think about this situation. What can I do?
Yeah.
So actually, the whole world, we are part of the world.
Yeah.
The world is made out of each one of us.
Yeah, yeah. The summation
so
of the individual.
If I can influence people around me to be good people,
yeah.
All I can do, the influence I have in this world is that I'm not there, I'm not their president,
I can't implement the policy.
I get worked up, I spread the bad news,
it's not negative, it's not positive.
So what can I do? Live my life well.
Yeah.
That is the best I can do. I'm human, I'm part of this world. I can make the world a better place in my area.
Yes.
More people do like me, the whole world will be a better place.
Yeah.
So then, I don't think like that anymore. Then I feel very
relief.
For,
free again.
Do something. Whatever I can. So different, totally.
Then
different
the ultimate wisdom is when you can accept everything the way it is. You remember that day I share, I think Suyan also share, the New Zealand there is Christchurch. Recently, only, I think yesterday, they went in and shoot and kill so many people. Yeah. The mosque, you know, they went into the mosque. And it's also, I don't know whether it's a New Zealander or Australian, New Zealand or Australian. So when this happens, you don't have the understanding that the world is the world, people are just the way they are. Then you will get like very agitated and understand. Luckily, it's a mosque. If it's a Buddhist temple, how? You attach to that label. How can they do this to the Buddhists? Like last time, you remember Afghanistan? When they bombed the Bayan statue, you know, the big statue. They cannon it off. That what they call surface-to-air missile. They shoot and blow off the head. Wow, a lot of Buddhists are hoo-ha everywhere in the internet. Then that time, I still haven't really come out to share. But I got Karim Mita who wrote to me through the email, honestly. Then I reply back. I said, please, don't do that. Because the Buddha that I pay respect to, that we take refuge, is not that statue, understand? Or? The Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection and wisdom. Why are you so woke up just because people shoot that statue? Because you attach and cling to the religious label, you think you're Buddhist. You must defend your Buddhist position. That is illusion. Then the next one, even better. In the West, there is a lot of this bar, B-A-R. You know, they like to put there what? The Buddha Rupang. No? In the bar itself, they call it the Buddha Bar. And at one time, the Buddhist community, very heated. No? want to file the court case and sue them for what, like you say, look down upon the Buddhist religion. If you do that in Malaysia, I tell you, you cannot even say bad thing, no? Not to say do thing. No? I tell you, that uncle got 10 years jail. Yeah? The recent one. So don't play a fool with sensitive issue and all those things. What is important is have love, respect, develop understanding, not to create unnecessary conflict, argument. They are Westerner, understand? To them, it's a very nice advertisement, understand? They want to promote their bar, understand? Because there is a very nice way of telling people, hey, Buddha bar, no? So a lot of people will be very excited, especially Christian, oh, the Buddhists respect the Buddha so much, but we have it in our bar, no? Understand? So they think they can create advertisement. And when you get angry, react through the internet, they get more advertisement. No? Understand? More people come to know. No? What they want is business. So I told them, that image is not the Buddha. Well, luckily I wrote the email out. No? Then after that, all quiet down. No? Yeah. Because the world is the world. If everything also you want to get angry, how many lives do you have? Huh? Your life will be shorter and shorter and shorter. Isn't it? That's why develop wisdom, develop understanding. So the way to attend to your student is very easy. That's why wisdom is not rigid one. You cannot say, hey, brother, you last time help that person. He just tell them the four noble truth, no, first noble truth, count him. Then you go, you apply same one. How can? Condition different. Situation different, that person also different, the background, the karma, everything, DNA also different, and culture also different. And you go and say, hey, brother Theo teach like that, no, last time he caught me and get me into trouble. Understand? Because you don't have the overall wisdom and the understanding to understand each and every one. They are all different. That's why how can I handle all this case? You think I got psychic? I got no psyche. I don't know anything. I can't even read anything. Maybe books can. Read mine, cannot. I don't touch psychic. I cannot. My nature cannot. But I can understand. I can sense. When I talk to somebody, I knew roughly that person, the past is what. And why he is like that. And how he is like that. That's why you come to me, you tell me what happened to your life. Then I will know roughly your past is what. And why you are like that. And I can give you the answer. The solution to come out of it. That is what Dhamma is all about. Yeah. So you don't need to have psychic and all this thing to do all these things. You only need to have understanding, wisdom. Yeah. And wisdom is not rigid, not a knowledge. You cannot apply everybody like the trousers, one size fit all. Got such thing or not? Everyone different, isn't it? Now they want different fashion, different style. Then the other thing that discuss is, what is the best way to bring out a child? You dare to answer that or not? Because there is so much variation, understand? First, you must understand what that child have in the past. He is gifted for what? That's why everyone is different. If he is gifted for that thing, then you help that child to materialize that thing which is very strong in him. But you only think of yourself through your own selfishness, like most parents, kiasu. Boy, study piano. Boy, go ballet. Boy, extra class, tuition, everything. Then apply for Cambridge, Oxford, and all those things. Then you prepare everything. But the miserable boy, so young, don't understand, follow. Then after that, cannot take the pressure. No? Then what happened? Breakdown. Then get angry and throw tantrum and tell off the parent. No? And the mother get very angry, very upset. I got a real case. No? He came to my meditation class, that lady. Then after the class, last time Jambaka, Saturday class, after the meditation class, she came and talked to me and offered me a leave to take me home. No?
Then I told the person who sent me, I said, it's okay, I follow her, she sent me back. Yeah, her house also nearby. Then he told me in the car, you know, because inside there still got people, he did not share this. Then he told me in the car, you know, he said, Brother Teo, what you shared just now is very true. I was the one that behaved exactly like you say. I'm the parent that kiasu. I force my children to do things. Yeah, I say, this is good for you, best for you. He wants the child, the son to be an engineer. It's prestigious. It's not for the son. And the son hate to become an engineer. He doesn't like. But because of what the mother didn't know. No? The mother thought everything was resolved. No? Because he finally agreed to study engineering. You know what happened? After the exam final year, the son went to the university, took the degree, come back. In front of the mother, he threw the degree down. He said, this is for you. This is what you want. I have done my part. From now onward, don't interfere with my life. He walked out of the house. And the mother cried like anything. He said, if I had met you earlier, this thing would not have happened. I always tell them, well, no, as a parent, your duty is to provide for them, understand, not care for them, then guide them, advise them. But their life, let them live, let them decide. It's not your life, understand? Good for you doesn't mean good for him. You are not him, understand? That's how you develop the understanding. But this is Dhamma. I ask you the same question. If your parent were to force you to do the thing that you don't like, you happy or not? You sure not happy, is that true or not? That's why if you can feel it yourself, then you should feel for your children. Like I, when I had my children, I reflect. My father was an illiterate. He stressed on education. He stressed on the important things, citizenship and other things. Then he make sure we have the education. He provide for everything. Then take care of the citizenship. That's why we are what we are today. Then when it comes to my generation, I am the first generation kid. I came out of the rural area and I become successful. Then when I have a family, I tell my children. I say, I learn from my parents. Then now I transfer my understanding to you. This is how I will bring you up. Your life, you decide. You ask my daughter, my son. I never interfere with their decision. Whatever they want to do, I let them do. Yeah. Even the career after home five, I ask them what you want to study. You don't have to follow me, become an engineer and all the things. Then after that, I told them, my father don't have the education, don't have the understanding, but I have. So for me, I tell them, if you are happy with what, about time, right? We just finished this. Huh? You are happy with what I have built up for you, because whatever within my means, if I can provide for you, I provide for. That's why I bought my neighbor's house, renovate and do it for them. Then I told them, you didn't go overseas. You helped me to save a lot of money. But both didn't go overseas. You know. They studied local and they did very well. They topped the university. They did very well. And they even beat me flat. So what happened is I said, you didn't go overseas. This money I saved, I give it back to you. So I give them seed money, 100,000 each, you know, to start their life. Yeah, I say the first 100,000 is very difficult to make. Then you trust me, I invest for you. I build up the finance for you. Then you don't have to be like other people. When you go out into the job market, work for people, you don't have to fear losing that job, understand? No? You don't have to be like everything the boss force you to do, unethical, against your conscience also you do. Forget about it. You have the option to just reject. Because we don't need the job to survive. Because with what we have, it's more than enough. But they understand. Then I say, you go to school, what you do? No need to score, no need to do well. I say, you go there, you observe your teacher, you observe your classmate. You learn the maths, the science, the language. Then you become aware and you learn from life. And this is what I told them. And because I didn't give them pressure, they both also did very well. Yeah. Then they know what they want. They are very clear. Like my daughter, after exam, I said, are you applying for a job? Last time we all very fast apply for a job, kia su. He said, no need, daddy, take 1 month leave. He go around first. Then after 1 month, only start writing application for job. Then when he wants to change job, you know what we do or not? We go and apply for interview first, confirm offer letter, then only we put in the notice in there. They all different though. He said, daddy, no need lah, resign first. Straight away resign first though. Then only apply. You know. Their thinking is different because they are brought up different. Then because of what they have, I say, you don't have to worry about food and shelter. This house is here for us to use, we have. Then if you don't mind, you didn't go overseas, I give you that seed money. The car, I bought them both. And my daughter got a new Kancho. Then my son got a my wife drive on the Iswara. So they have the good life. Then they are rewarded. Then you have this type of understanding. They themselves later on told me, you know, their classmates, a lot of problems, haywire everywhere. He said that our family different. Their family, he saw all upside down one, everywhere. That's why with the Dhamma, you can make a difference to your family life, the family unit. And we are together as a family. There must be harmony. Understand? If one of you is selfish, the harmony is gone. Very difficult. So a lot of understanding is required for the good life, for the happy life. That's why Dhamma is very wonderful. That's why my children, they are very happy because the way they are brought up, they can see, they compare with their friends, their colleagues, or they know. You see, we are so different. And you can see them. Their personality are very unique to them. My daughter likes Japanese. Somehow you ask her and she'll go and learn Japanese on her own and pass the exam somehow and like to travel to Japan. And the room that I gave to her, I said, you decide what design and what layout. He designed the Japanese one. Everything Japanese. So everyone is different. Their character, their personality, their karmic background, all different. That's why you must have that wisdom to understand each and every one of them. Otherwise, you will force your views and opinion and what you want onto them. And when they suffer, you know what happens? They become afflicted. In future, you will have parents that do the same thing to you. You want or not? Yeah? You want or not? Pressure you. Force you to study things that you don't like. Then tell you, you cannot marry this person. Do you want that? And then, don't do it to people. Because this is karma, you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, your children or your husband, it will fruition come back to you when there is condition. So when you understand this Dhamma, you will never do all this. Well, I don't want my life to be like that. Understand? So if I take care of them, you know what happened? In future, I will have parents that take care of me. That's why my parents take care of me. Understand? Then you know why they can have such parami to have us as parents. Because in the past, they have been good parents before. Understand? They also have their understanding and parents. That's why I can be born into my family and have this understanding. So now you understand. Yeah? It's not luck. Nothing to do with luck. It's all understanding, wisdom. Understanding the nature's law, the law of karma. Hey, time already. How come no alarm? Alarm went off already. Sorry. So I thought no alarm. So we end. So we finish chapter 5, isn't it? Yeah? We finish, right? Did I finish 2.2? Let things be on. The last paragraph I didn't read. Without wisdom and right view, born of understanding, the Buddha Dhamma, one will react and the mind will stir due to fear, worry, anxiety, etc., born of wrong view, just like normal deluded living being, leading to the mental suffering, grief, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. The cause of suffering is delusion that conditions one's grasping and one's clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind. Oh, this one we have covered. So this is the second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth. We finished. Okay, very good. So now we will share merit, transfer merit, then we can end. Okay. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we shall share and transfer this merit to all beings. Then we make our aspiration, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana hita wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, then we end.